Irina and Baron Tusenbach enter through the dining room and come downstage into the sitting room.
I've got three surnames. Baron Tusenbach, Krohn Altschauer. But I belong to the Orthodox Church. I'm just as Russian as you. There's only a little German left in me. Nothing but the dogged obstinacy I bore you with, walking you home every night.
I'm so tired.
And I'll come to the telegraph office and walk you home every night for the next 10 years. 20. Till you chase me away.
The Baron is delighted to see Masha and Vershinin.
Is that you? Hello?
Home at last. Mashka, a lady came in tonight to telegraph her brother in Saratov to tell him that her son died today. She couldn't remember her brother's address, so she sent it without an address. Simply to Saratov. She cried the whole time, and I was rude to her for no reason. I told her I had no time to waste. So stupid. Are the carnival entertainers coming tonight?
Yes.
Irina sits in an armchair. Masha is humming softly.
Rest. Tired.
When you come home at night, you look so young, so sad.
I'm tired. I don't like telegraph work. No, I don't like it.
You've lost weight. You look younger. Your face is starting to look like a boy's.
That's her hairstyle.
I've got to find a different job. This one's not for me. What I wanted, the very thing I dreamed, is the thing that's missing. This is work without poetry, without consciousness.
Someone knocks on the floor from the room below.
The doctor's knocking. Knock back for me, Nikolai. I can't. I'm too tired.
Tusenbach knocks on the floor in answer.
He'll be here soon. Yesterday, the doctor and Andrei were at the club, and they lost again. They say Andrei lost 200 rubles. Somebody should do something.
What can anyone do?
2 weeks ago, he lost. In December, he lost. I wish he'd hurry up and lose everything. Then maybe we could leave this town. Honest to God, I dream of Moscow every night. It's making me crazy. We'll move there in June. But there's still February, March, April, May. Almost half a year.
Natasha must not know about his losses.
I don't think she cares.
Cheputikin, up from his after-dinner nap, enters into the upstage dining room, combing his beard. He sits at the table and takes a newspaper from his pocket.
Here he is. Has he paid his rent?
No. Not a kopeck for 8 months. Apparently he's forgotten.
How comfortably he sits.
Why are you so quiet, Colonel?
I don't know. I want tea. Half my kingdom for a glass of tea. I've eaten nothing since this morning.
Irina Sergeyevna.
What do you want?
Come here. We may see.
Irina goes to sit with Cheputikin at the table upstage.
I can't live without you.
Irina lays out cards for a game of patience.
Since no one will bring us tea, let's discuss something interesting.
Let's. What?
What? Well, let's dream a little. Of the life that will come after us, 200 or 300 years from now.
Well, when we're gone, people will fly in balloons. Suit coat fashions will be different. We might discover a sixth sense, maybe even learn how to use it. But life will remain the same. Mysterious, difficult, happy. 1,000 years from now, a man will sigh and say, "Ah, how hard life is," just as now. And just as now, that man will be afraid of death and will resist it.
How can I put this? Everything on Earth changes continuously, by degrees. It's already changing right now, here, in front of our eyes. In 200, or 300, or maybe 1,000 years, the time is not important. A new happy life will come to be. We won't experience that life, of course, but we live for it. Work towards it, yes, suffer for it. We're creating it, and that is the sole purpose of our existence, and is perhaps our only happiness.
What is it?
I don't know. All day I've been laughing, since this morning.
I went to a local gymnasium, the same as you. I didn't go to a military academy. I read a lot, but don't know how to choose books, and probably I read a lot of the wrong things. The longer I live, the more I want to know. My hair's turning gray. I'm nearly an old man, and I know so little. Oh, so little! But I think I do know what matters. I feel it in my bones. If only I could prove to you that there is no happiness, that there shouldn't be, and will never be happiness for any of us. All we can do is work and go on working. Happiness is for our descendants. If not for mine, then for the descendants of my descendants.
In the dining room, Fedotek and Rode sing softly. Rodin accompanies on his guitar.
You say there's no such thing as happiness, but I am happy.
No.
Obviously we don't understand each other. How can I convince you? You laugh. Alexander, not only in 200 or 300 years, but even in 1,000,000 years, life will be the same as it is now. Life won't change. It remains itself. Follows its own laws, which are not ours and which we will never understand. Birds of passage, like cranes, for instance, fly back and forth thousands of miles, and whatever thoughts, sublime or trivial, pass through their minds, they will keep on flying and never know why or where. They'll fly and continue to fly however many philosophers they hatch. So let them be philosophical as long as they keep on flying.
But what is the meaning?
The meaning? Look, it's snowing. What is the meaning?
I think a person needs to have meaning, or seek meaning, otherwise life is empty. Empty. To live and not know why cranes fly, why children are born, why stars are in the sky. Either we know what we're living for, or everything means nothing.
And yet we're all of us sorry when our youth has passed.
In one of his stories, Gogol says it's boring living in this world, my friends.
I say it's impossible to argue with you, my friends. I give up.
Jabotikin reads from his newspaper while Arina hums softly.
Balzac was married at Berdichev. I must make a note of that.
Jabotikin writes in his notebook, then goes back to reading his newspaper. Irina plays another game of patience.
Balzac was married at Berdichev.
The die is cast. You know, Maria Sergeyevna, I've resigned my commission.
So I hear. And nothing good will come from that. I don't like civilians.
Doesn't matter. I didn't make a very handsome soldier, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to work. For once in my life, I'll work and come home at night exhausted, collapse on my bed and fall asleep immediately. I imagine working men sleep soundly.
Tusambach goes into the dining room.
Just today, dear Irina Sergeyevna, I bought you these colored pencils from Pizhikos on Moscow Street, and this little penknife.
You still treat me like a child, but I'm grown up now.
Irina takes the colored pencils and the penknife joyfully.
What fun!
For myself, I bought a jackknife. Here, look. One blade, and then another blade, and a third for your ears, and a tiny scissors for trimming nails.
That there! How old are you?
Me?
32.
I'll show you a new kind of patience.
The winter wind is howling. Fedotik lays out cards. The samovar is brought in. Anfisa serves tea from the samovar. A little later, Natasha comes in and is busy at the table. Salyoni comes in and, after greeting the others, sits at the table.
That's quite a wind.
Yes, I'm sick and tired of winter. I've completely forgotten what summer is like.
The game shows us we're going to Moscow.
No, it doesn't. See? The 8 is over the 2 of spades. That means you don't go to Moscow.
Jabotikin is reading a newspaper.
Tsitsikar. Smallpox is raging there.
Anfisa comes downstage to Masha and Vashinin in the sitting room.
Masha, tea is ready, dearie. Please, your honor, a colonel, I forgot your name.
Bring our tea here, Nanny. We're not going in there.
Nanny!
Coming!
Natasha addresses Salyoni.
Breastfed babies understand everything. Good morning, Bobik, darling, I said. He looked at me in a very special way. You probably think I say that because I'm his mother, but no, absolutely. He is an extraordinary baby.
If that baby were mine, I'd fry him in a pan and eat him.
Oh, rude, horrible man!
Natasha shrieks and covers her face with her hands. Salyoni takes his glass, comes downstage into the sitting room, and sits in a corner. Anfisa is serving tea for everyone.